Okay, so let's get under the hood, and specifically, let's talk about how to structure a winning retainer agreement. The first point I want to make is that these agreements need to be exclusive and not something you offer everyone, every single client or prospect you meet, because for them to work well, there has to be a high level of trust. The key to making retainers work really well is having a high trust level with a client. And by that, I mean you both trust that the amount or value of work paid for is what's going to be delivered each and every month. So don't offer retainer agreements or even mention them on your website. That would be my first piece of advice. You want to reserve these agreements for clients you've been working with for a while. By a while, you know, you define that. But, you know, this, it could be this, maybe you just have one project under your belt with them. That's fine. The point is, it's not your first engagement. This is not the first time you work with them. Now, that doesn't mean that when you do land a retainer agreement, you can't occasionally have a discussion about the agreement and whether or not the numbers and the effort level are still aligned. In fact, I encourage that. We're going to talk about that. Okay. So it doesn't mean that once you land it, you know, fine, everything, everyone has to trust everyone else and everything's fine. No, I mean, there's still going to be checks and balances in place, but it means that this is not something you offer someone right off the street. It means that you offer these agreements only to clients who are not clock watchers or hour counters, and they trust you to be the gatekeeper of what or how much gets done each month. This ultimately benefits them as well, because the high level of trust they place in you will inevitably make you want to deliver as much value as possible each month, you as the freelance professional. Now, can it work with a new client? Maybe, but it's too risky to start the relationship that way. It's, you know, to me, it's like proposing marriage on the first date, or at least the equivalent of asking someone you just met to be your roommate for a year. You know, that would be kind of creepy, right? It would be weird. It would be a little pushy. Okay. So don't be that guy. When I've been working with a client for some time, and I start seeing that there's a high trust level there and a need for a steady amount of work from me over the next few months or longer. So here's the first step I follow. I simply approach the client with the idea about a retainer agreement. I ask them if they'd be interested in working out a mutually beneficial retainer agreement or arrangement, or sometimes I call it a longer term work agreement if I feel that language might be better received. And if they're intrigued by the idea, here are the specific steps I follow and the steps that I recommend you follow. The first step is to jointly come up with a rough or approximate list of deliverables or projects they're going to need completed over a specified period of time. By a specified period, it could be anywhere from 3 months to 6 months to a year. I've found that 6 to 12 months is usually best. And more than 12 months is typically not a good idea, because so much can change when you're looking so far into the future that this unpredictability could become a deterrent to getting the client to entertain that retainer idea. But try to get that list of deliverables to be as accurate and complete as possible. By the way, it's okay if you want to propose maybe a kind of a trial period, like a 90-day thing that could be extended to a one-year agreement. Those things are fine. But, you know, my point here is you don't want to go over a year if at all possible, and it can't be like a month thing unless it's a pilot with the option to extend to a full year. So this is key, you know, figuring out this list, coming up with this list together. And if the client can't figure out a list, your job is to help them come up with a list of deliverables or recurring deliverables. For this to work, for this kind of agreement to work, it's very important that you have something to work from, even if you're making educated guesses on some of the projects and the quantities. Oh, make sure that the list of projects to be delivered is realistic based on the time frame you and the client are discussing. So By that, I mean, make sure you're not trying to do 9 months worth of work in a 6 month period. So just, you know, be honest with yourself, be honest with a client. Just make sure that it's equitable, that it's doable, that you're not trying to compress something. It's just impossible. And don't let the excitement kind of take over and make you agree on things that you know are going to be very, very difficult to deliver on. The second step is to then list all the deliverables or projects in a spreadsheet. Put your standard fee for this client next to each one and extend all the amounts. So you can see how I do this here. So in other words, and by the way, this is something you're going to do internally. So once you're in your office, if you've met with a client, come back home and get this done. This is not something you're going to share with a client. This is something that's going to help you start coming up with an amount to propose. Okay. So you've come up with that list together. It may usually take some back and forth on that. They're going to need your help coming up with that list. And then you take it home and then you itemize everything that you talked about. Not just all the items, but then the total number. So it depends how you propose it. Let's say on some of these items, you propose like a monthly or a quarterly thing for this particular type of deliverable. Then let's say it was monthly and it's a, you're looking at a, maybe a 12-month thing. Then you're going to list 12 of those items. Okay, so notice I have all the items listed here, the quantity for each, and then I put a unit cost for each item. Now, how do I determine that unit cost? The way I think about it is, okay, what would I charge this client if he or she were to hire me for just this one project? Forget about volume discount right now. Don't worry about that. We'll get to that. But for a blog post, what would I normally charge for one blog post? So list that there. And then you want to extend those fees in that last column. So that's what that total fees column is. It's basically the unit cost times the quantity. Okay. So here's what you want to do. And this is step three. You want to calculate a project total and factor in a volume discount. Okay. So you want to add everything up on that last column and then discount that based on volume. So as a starting point, I would suggest a 10 to 20% discount. So let's look at what that might look like. I'm going to bring back that list of deliverables. So notice all the extended amounts that added up in this example to $101,050. $101,050. Okay, so then what I did is I took out in this example 20%. And the reason I did that in this particular example, this is based on a real retainer that I ended up landing with a client, is a lot of the work was going to require, was going to entail repurposing content on my end. Now, I didn't really make a big deal out of that to the client, but I knew after working with them for a few months that in order to produce all these items over the course of a year, I was going to be able to reuse and repurpose a lot of content, which would make things a lot easier. So not only that, but there's also going to be a lot of work. And I think it's, you know, fair to go ahead and issue a discount based on all this volume and the agreement from the client's behalf to give me that work on a steady basis and to contract out that kind of work over a 12-month period. So anyway, bottom line is I decided to issue a 20% discount. And like I mentioned, I think anywhere between 10 and 20% is about right. You could go a little higher, a little lower. It just depends. And then go ahead and factor that in. So after I subtracted that from the total amount, I came out with $80,840. Then we move on to step number four, which is where you're going to take the discounted amount and divide it by the number of months the agreement is going to be for. And that's going to be your monthly retainer amount. So let's go back to that spreadsheet and show you what that looks like. So again, you saw that my total for all these items would have been $101,050, $101,050 that is. I took out $20,210 based on a 20% retainer and content repurposing discount. Then my adjusted amount was $80,840. And I divided that by 12 and I came out with $6,700. $37. Okay. It was that simple. Now, I want to emphasize again, you're not sharing the spreadsheet with the client. This is for your eyes only. It's an easy way to make these calculations. So I've included, by the way, a sample spreadsheet with your handout materials, which are free to use. It just makes this a lot easier. It's very straightforward, very basic. It's just what you see here. Okay, but at least you have something you can use to get started with. And that is pretty much how I figure out what I'm going to quote as my monthly retainer amount. So that's it for this session. In the next lesson, we're going to talk about how you can make it work, how you can make it stick, how you can propose this to the client and get them to say yes to your proposal.